Good morning. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church and Christian Preschool. I'm so glad you're here. We can worship together today, and we get to begin this morning with music from the Carol Choir. Thank you so much, guys. That was great. What a great way to begin our worship service. You know, last Friday evening, right here in this very spot, we had the end of the year preschool program and moving on ceremony. And just like they did this morning, our preschool kids did a great job. They sang a lot of songs. And I learned something. I learned the Days of the Week song. Do you know the Days of the Week song? There's Sunday and there's Monday, there's Tuesday and there's Wednesday, there's Thursday and there's Friday, and then there's Saturday. Days of the week, days of the week, days of the week, days of the week, days of the week. All right, I've almost got them down too. So stand, greet your neighbor, and say, I hope he keeps his day job. And you can remain standing as we sing our gathering hymn number 389. 389. Well, these days we are used to information comes to us. We don't have to go look for information. It just shows up on our news feed and our social media or in our email. It comes to our phones. We don't have to look. It comes to us. And as an example of that, last weekend my sister-in-law was here, and she's been working on Ancestry.com. By the way, today's worship service brought to you by Ancestry.com. I'm just kidding. She said, it's amazing, you got to try it. And so I just put in a little bit of basic information about myself, and all of a sudden it filled out my family tree back to the 1600s. I couldn't believe it. All this information just came, and I clicked on a link within moments of having put in my information, and there was a picture of my mom's ninth grade class at Orange High School, which has been closed since 1972. And that's my mom in ninth grade. I had never seen that picture before, and it's kind of creepy because it looks like me in ninth grade with a wig on. Even my wife said, whoa, that looks like you. It's just amazing, you know, the way information just comes to us today. And it's the same with our God. We have a God that we don't even have to look for. He just comes to us. In two of our two readings today, we have stories where Jesus meets people where they are. And as we begin worship today, that's my prayer, that you would experience the God that you're not even looking for. And that you would know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the community of the Holy Spirit is with you all. We pray together the prayer of the day. Eternal and all-merciful God, With all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may be seated for the reading. The reading today isn't printed on the back of the bulletin. It's actually printed at the end of the service, which would be about page 5.
Today's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 7 through 20. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." Here ends the reading.
And I'd like to invite the kids to come forward and join me for the children's message. All right. It's great to have you all here today. Okay, so have you ever tasted a lemon? How does a lemon taste? Sour, right? Okay, so show us your sour face. That does look pretty sour. Did they do sour faces? I think you can do better. Show me your really sour face. Okay, pretty good. Pretty good. Okay, so today we heard a story about a guy named Saul, and he was really a sour guy. He was mean, and he was mean and nasty to Jesus' followers. In fact, I drew a picture. See, this is one of my business cards, see? And then on the other side, I wrote the name Saul, and what kind of face does he have? Frowny, right? Kind of sad, kind of a sour face, right? Okay, so here's the thing. Something amazing, miraculous happened, and it changed, okay? So first, I want to show you something. Okay, what do you see in there?
Nothing.
Right? There's nothing in there, right? Okay, so Cooper, I want you to take that card, take Sour Saul, and put him in there, okay? There you go. Put him down in there. Okay, we'll close that up, okay? So, Sour Saul was on the road, and then all of a sudden, one day, bam! There was a big light. What?
I
There was a big light, and all of a sudden, sour Saul, he couldn't see anymore. And Jesus came to him and said, Saul, why are you being so sour? From now on, your name is going to be Paul, and you're going to be sweet. And so they sent a guy named Ananias to pray for him. And after he prayed for him, then he could see again. Cooper, will you take that card out of there? What does it say? It says, Paul, and what kind of a face is on it?
Happy.
A happy face, that's right. He was changed from sour, it's magic. He was changed from sour Saul, was changed from sour Saul to sweet Paul. Jesus changes us. So, to help you remember, I need to redirect you now. So, to help you remember, every single one of you gets a free piece of candy today, okay? And you're going to go see Angie in a minute, and everybody gets one Sour Patch Kid, okay? Because when you first taste it, how's it taste? Sour. But then what happens? It turns sweet, and that's exactly what happened. Sour Saul turned into sweet Paul. So everybody, let's bow our heads, fold our hands, and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, when I'm a sour Saul, turn me in to a sweet Paul. Amen. Thanks for coming up, and you can go get your... Okay, bye. Thanks for coming up. And let's stand for the gospel acclamation. Holy Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter. And our Gospel today will be presented on the screen.
Huh?
Can I see?
The gospel of the Lord. And you may be seated. If I were Jesus, I would have been so mad. In the Gospel of John, this is now the third time that Jesus has appeared to his disciples since his resurrection. The very first time was on Easter Day, the evening of Easter Day, the very first day of his resurrection. He came to his disciples and they were hiding in a locked room, and he said, "It's me, I'm alive." He showed them his hands and his side. He spoke to them, he breathed on them, gave them his Holy Spirit, and said, "Share the good news." And yet, 8 days later, Jesus came back, and they were still hiding in that same locked room. And once again, Jesus came to them, and he said, "See, it's me." And he showed Thomas the nail marks in his hands and the wound in his side. He said, "Believe. Now go, share the good news." And now, today, Jesus is at the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee. He comes to see his disciples again, and what are they doing? Are they sharing the good news? No, they're fishing. They're doing exactly the very same thing in the very same place as when Jesus first met them. Now, the last time he saw them, they were down by Jerusalem where the resurrection happened, and now they're all the way up here by Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, and Cana, where Jesus' first miracle had happened. And they're doing exactly what they were doing when Jesus first met them. They have literally gone back to the beginning. Instead of going out and sharing the good news, they've just been like wandering all over the place, messing up Jesus' plan. If I were Jesus, I would have been so mad. But I'm not Jesus. Jesus was patient with them. He showed them once again that he is the risen Savior, that it's him. And he fed them and he gave them what they needed. And one more time he said, "Share the good news. Go out and tell people." It's kind of a messy ending to the Easter story, isn't it? I mean, that they won't do what they're supposed to do. They just kind of mess it all up. But Jesus is patient. You know, we get it. It's an honest ending. It's a human ending. It's relatable, Right? The same thing happens to us. Jesus is with us all the time, trying to help us, trying to guide us, but we just don't get it a lot of the times either. Our lives are messy too. Who's your favorite Bible character? I mean, besides Jesus. Do you have one? Okay. Besides Jesus. Well, I'll tell you, one of my favorite, all-time favorite Bible characters we heard about this morning is Ananias from the book of Acts. Actually, Ananias chapter 9. Now, there's another Ananias in the book of Acts. That's a different story. That's the grim tale of Ananias and Sapphira. You might remember that Ananias and Sapphira were members of the early church, and they sold some property, and they promised that they would give the money to the church, but instead Ananias took some of that money, and he hid it in a secret offshore account somewhere, or something like that. And he didn't give it all to the church, and it was discovered, and as a result of the shock of being called out, he died along with Sapphira. That's not the Ananias I'm talking about. The Ananias I'm talking about is in Acts 9, which Larry just read about. Ananias, I love him because the story is so honest, so human, so relatable. Ananias is just hanging out one day, and Jesus comes to him and says, I want you to go to a house here in Damascus on Straight Street and pray for Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias is like, wait, you want me to lay hands on Saul of Tarsus? Yep, says Jesus. The same Saul of Tarsus who's leading a campaign of terror against us? That's the one. The same Saul of Tarsus who's killing the followers, taking hostages, and dragging our people to Jerusalem in chains? Yes, that Saul of Tarsus. Oh, boy. Right? It's like, I just imagine, what if that happened to me? What if Jesus came to me and said, Russ, I want you to go to Syria. I want you to go to Damascus. And on a street there, you will find a house. And inside of that house is a terrorist. And I want you to go inside and I want you to pray for that person. How would I respond? I'd be like, I don't think I have any vacation days left. I'm more of a nurturer than a confronter. You know, maybe you should ask Pastor Norm to go instead. That's not really, he likes that kind of stuff. I'm just being honest. I'm not saying I'm proud of it. Ananias felt the same way, right? He said, I've heard he's a really bad guy, so I don't know if I should. But Jesus says, go, Ananias. He's going to be my instrument. He's going to bring me to your people and his people and all the people, and he will suffer greatly in my name. Oh, what's that? He's going to suffer? Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Sure, I'd be glad to go and pray for him. I just love it. I mean, he's so honest, he's so human, he's so relatable. He's willing to do the right thing for the wrong reason. We can relate to that, can't we? I mean, so often we pray, but we're praying for the wrong reason. We're praying just to get the stuff we want from God. Or what about the kid that invites their friend to come to Sunday school because they're hoping that then he'll stay overnight and they can stay up late playing video games? Or what about the youth who goes on the mission trip because they think it'll look good on their college resume? Or the woman who brings food for the funeral luncheon because she doesn't want the other ladies to talk about her? Or the husband who goes to church with his wife because it's just easier than having her mad at him all day if he doesn't go? Or the pastor who helps with VBS because he wants to show everybody how chill he looks in his Hawaiian shirt? We all have a little Ananias in us. Martin Luther said, I seldom do the right thing, and when I do, it's usually for the wrong reason. But Jesus can work with our messiness. That's the good news of our stories today. Jesus can work with our messiness. Even though the disciples got it all messed up, still he continued to come to them and to help them and to guide them. And eventually they did go out and share the good news. They were even willing to suffer for the sake of the good news. And Ananias, even though it was messy, Jesus worked with his messiness, and Ananias went and he prayed for Saul, and Saul could see, and he became sweet Paul, and he ended up going out and starting churches all over Asia and Europe and writing half of the New Testament with his letters. Some of our most beloved Christian Bible passages were written by that guy, Paul, who wrote, "Love is patient, love is kind." Paul wrote, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That very guy who used to be a terrorist is the same one who said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Jesus did all of that through this messy situation. The right thing for the wrong reason, and yet Jesus can work with it. It's the same with us. Even though we don't always pray for the right reasons, still in our prayers, we are in relationship with the God who loves us. And that kid is still going to learn about Jesus no matter what they did the night before they came to church. And that youth is still going to have a transforming week serving other people. Hungry people are still going to be fed. Grieving people are still going to be comforted no matter why people brought the food to church. That husband, God is still going to talk to that husband no matter why that husband came. And the pastor is still going to have a great time at VBS no matter what the reason was for his coming. Thank you, Jesus, for working through us in spite of our messiness.
I've heard it. You've heard it. It's time for a new beginning. Time to start a fresh page or paint a new picture with our life. Sounds great in theory, but it can seem impossible. Life is messy. The lines have gotten blurred. Maybe we just don't know where to start. We look at the canvas of our lives and see mistake after mistake after mistake. It's overwhelming. When I look at my life with these messy lines and scribbles, makes me think, is this as good as it gets? There's no eraser that can make this life make sense. But what if? What if there was someone that could make sense of our mess? They could take all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our missed opportunities, and make them into a masterpiece. And then I remember, there is Jesus. He gives us a new life. Every day is new. Every day is a blank canvas full of possibility and promise. He takes our canvases, our lives, that have been filled up with shortcomings, secrets, tragedies, and embarrassments, and he helps them make sense. When I look at the canvas of my life and I see nothing but disorder and chaos, I have to remember this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. And you know what? He wants to take my hand and bring peace to the canvas of my life. As we seek to make our mark, let us give God all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our hurts, and trust that he will turn our messy lives into a masterpiece. His masterpiece.
Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing our next hymn, number 817. And let's proclaim together, we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed printed in the bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's join our hearts together in prayer. God of grace, we thank you for patiently loving us, for meeting us where we are, and for turning our messiness into your masterpiece. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we celebrate with you today at 10:15 the baptism of Harlow Venz, and we pray that she would experience your presence and your love in her life as she grows, and that you would use us as her church to help her know you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Risen Lord, bring your healing and hope to all who are in need. We pray today especially for Shirley Hall, Jean Wiedelman, Sandra Link, Ron Venz, John Montaigne, Dan Carey, B.J. Gifford. Give your peace and strength to the families of Helga King and Tristan Lau at their deaths, and to all who grieve the loss of loved ones. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that you would protect and support the women and men who serve in the armed forces and their families. We remember especially Alex Binger, Robson Shanklin, and Kim Hall. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those others who are on our hearts as we name them now silently before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all say, Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And let's share that peace with one another. And you may be seated as we continue with the offering. We sing our offering hymn number 712. offertory prayer. O Lord our God, maker of all things, through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Everybody is welcome and invited to come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ. In addition, we have the home communion kits on the altar today, reminding us that we have members of this congregation, communion visitors, who are taking this meal out to many other people in our community. We have both wine and grape juice available. The grape juice is white, and in the center of the tray of cups, gluten-free wafers are available over here by the organ. Kids can be brought forward, or anybody who's not communing can come forward for a blessing today. Like in our gospel reading, when Jesus invited his disciples to come and have breakfast, in the same way, Jesus is inviting you to come to this meal. He is the host, and we are his guests. The food of God for the people of God. Come, for all is ready, and you may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you.